now with the best of Montana Talks.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, happy Freedom Friday to all of our listeners out there across Montana. Man, we got so many different topics we want to get to here this morning. But also, we want to hear from you. What topics do you want to get to? What do you want to share with folks all across Montana? Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Plus, we've got our friend George Blackard back in the house with us here on this Freedom Friday. George, I hope you had a great Veterans Day. I almost was going to call you up and wire you into the show or see if we could hit you up, because you're always such a great Veterans Day show host or sidekick. But holy cow, we were so busy with so many great veterans to talk to in Missoula, I didn't even have time to take a coffee break, frankly, on Tuesday morning show.
Isn't that the way it goes? I mean, that day brings out some great people, and it's always busy like that. You know, I had a very laid-back Veterans Day. I really didn't do anything.
Good.
So
good.
I worked, and I went home, and I sat down and just enjoyed some peace and quiet. So,
well, well-deserved, because I know you've spent so many Memorial Days, Veterans Days, Flag Days, other days, like going nonstop event to event to event or helping out your fellow veterans or a family in need. And so, yeah, sometimes it's just nice to enjoy your Veterans Day by taking a freaking day off and kicking back and relaxing like you deserve.
Isn't that the truth? You know, I remember a couple of years I'd get home about 10 o'clock at night after going to events all day long and then realize I haven't eaten all day and I could have eaten anywhere for free.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It was like that was me, you know, on Tuesday. I didn't even have time to really stop and grab lunch. I just grabbed a protein bar or something anyway. But so then I finally got back to Kalispell about 4 o'clock, and I'm like, okay, I need to go pick up some things from the grocery store, but you know, I'm gonna pop into Applebee's. Applebee's was like it was like D-Day. All the boats were on the beach at Applebee's. Every veteran in America invaded Applebee's on Tuesday.
Yes, they do. Applebee's does a great job there too, and I always appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's so cool that they do those free meals for veterans. And I offered to show ID, and they're like, nah, you know what, don't worry about it. And so they're pretty trusting of folks. I'm like you, man. There's some Veterans Days I wish I could just hang back and not have to work, not have to do a show. But it's such an honor to have a microphone like this. But the hardest part about doing a show like this is giving the day the justice that it truly deserves for our fellow veterans. And thankfully, the fine folks of Missoula helped us do that by giving us some great guests and some great veterans to get on the microphone. And so they made it a great program, because if I had to do it on my own, man, it would have been a rough day.
It's always nice to have the help.
That's right. Well, that's why we got you here every Friday, George Blackard, for Freedom Friday. I asked George while the Fox News update was going on for us in our headsets here. I said, hey, what do you want to talk about here this morning? Did you guys hear about this story? Apparently, I've got the Axios media report here. Apparently, 40% of young women want to leave. They want to get out of the country. They want to leave the United States.
We'll be back with the best of Montana Talks after these messages.
Flint here with Montana Talks. I know what you're thinking. All right, it's Thanksgiving. We're heading into a holiday and a holiday weekend. Will the show go on? Of course, the show will go on. We've got a great best of program for you for Thanksgiving Day. Back with you live for Black Friday and then on into Monday, taking your phone calls and more. Why? Because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. You get to call in and be heard all across the great state of Montana. You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know I've got this Axios story somewhere around here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Axios.com here has this, and that's basically kind of a leftist center news website here. It was started by some Politico alumni. A record share of women say they want to leave the United States for good the share of U.S. young adults who say that they would like to permanently move to another country. This is the graph that they have now shared. 40% of young women say that they would like to leave the U.S. permanently. That's more than twice the share of American men, and apparently this is a new Gallup survey. We're going to get George Blackard's take on that and more. Plus, hey, we'd love to hear your take. If you want to call in, 406-294-0970. We'll get George's take here in just a second. But first, let's start with one of your phone calls. We've got Kat calling in from Eastern Montana. Kat, thanks for the call, and what's on your mind on this Freedom Friday?
Well, happy Freedom Friday, Aaron, and thanks to our veterans. I wanted to just share on the airwaves. I broke a story yesterday about the DEI at the Billings Clinic. It's a secret DEI program. So the Billings Clinic in Montana is defying President Trump's executive order 14151, ending radical and wasteful government DEI programs and preferencing. Now, the Billings Clinic, which is tied to Logan Healthcare, the Mayo Clinic Care Network, they're secretly training their employees on their DEI policies. So the training manual sent by my source talks about being paid to be there as DEI committee and is open to all clinic employees. The things that they talk about in there are, like in their manual, are policies, which are like dress code, bathroom, patient rooming, EMR adjustments, and a couple others, but this one stood out to me. The SOGI collection that inputs gender into an EMR decision-making tool, which what could go wrong there, right? In staff education, trainings, things of this nature. Now, I have all the receipts listed on my Facebook, listed on my X account at Lemmy Winkster, or you can find me at Kat Hawley. But I just wanted to go down five of the people or things or entities that donate to the Billings Clinic that leads to their DEI. That's First Interstate Bank, Q2, KTVQ, U.S. Bank, Nonstop Local, Billings Gazette, Northwest Energy, and the Yellowstone Country Club. So I wanted to bring that to your listeners. I'm going to scoot off here, Aaron, and I'll listen to the comments. And I want to thank you, and God bless to everyone in Montana. Have a great day.
All right, Kat, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that post that you shared on X yet, so thanks for calling in about it. I'll have to check that one out. George, you know how in the military you hear these acronyms and you're like, there's an acronym for everything, and then the Navy might have one acronym that means one thing, and then the Air Force could have the same exact acronym and it means something else. SOGI is one of these acronyms where I'm like, what in the world is SOGI? Is this like, you know, like do you drink that when you're eating kimchi? What is SOGI? Apparently it's sexual orientation and gender something or other. Yeah, I mean, just some of the crazy train acronyms that are out there. And not in the, well, they used to be in the military, but Pete Hegseth's doing away with that nonsense.
Yes, he is. And that's a great speech. That's one of the greatest of the last few decades. But, you know, there's a lot of organizations like this is the hospital. But there's universities we're finding still all over the country that have just totally ignored that. They've just changed the name and went dark, and they're doing it all behind the scenes, you know. So they're not going to let go of that easily. They're just not.
Well, and what we've seen is what they're trying to do is basically have the same old DEI program, this racist DEI program, but call it by another name. And so that's what you see a lot of, especially higher education institutions doing, is they still have the same DEI racist policies. They're just calling it something else and claiming to not have a DEI program. All right, George, this was one of the topics you wanted to get to here this morning. And yeah, this story caught my eye as well. I found it at Axios.com. A record share of women, 40% apparently of young women, say they want to leave the United States permanently. What was your reaction when you saw this story?
Well, the first thing I looked at is, all right, so who did they poll? That's what I want to know. And they polled girls as young as 15 in this poll they did. Well, you know, just like I know, that teenage girls that are under 18, and boys for that matter, all they want to do is get out of wherever they are. They want to get out of the hometown they're in. They want to get out of their state. And so I have no doubt that if somebody said, hey, would you leave the country if you had the chance? And they're 15, they're going to go, well, yeah, hell yeah, I'd do that. Well, so I'm not buying this whole 40% thing. I think you can't even poll people under 18 and make it count. You know, I just think it's wrong.
That's a great point. The entire freaking world is invading Montana and wants to live in parts of Montana. And yet there's kids that live in Bozeman right now or live in the Flathead Valley right now, some of the most beautiful places on earth. And they're like, I don't like it here. It's boring. There's nothing to do here.
And then I gotta get out of here.
And then they leave and they're like, I can't wait to get back to Montana, man. We had everything there. We had all the stuff that the city slickers have, but then we have lakes and rivers and mountains and hunting and fishing and everything else too. And so they quickly figure it out. It's kind of like Brittany Griner. You know, she was kneeling for the anthem and then she got locked in a Russian prison. Boy, was she happy to get back to America.
All right, how play? If there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Hey, I just got another great message here from Sandy in Missoula. And, you know, we were talking about Veterans Day. Of course, I was in Missoula for the Veterans Day ceremony at the courthouse on Tuesday. And then we did our live show from the Veterans Day breakfast at the American Legion earlier that morning. But, I mentioned General Dale Stovall. He was in the front row at Arlington on Tuesday when he got recognized by President Trump for his incredible service in Vietnam as a Jolly Green rescue helicopter pilot. And anyway, Sandy says this. She says, my dad, a retired lieutenant commander in the Navy, after flying fighter jets, flew for FedEx with Dale Stovall. He is a fantastic man, and I'm so proud to know him. And then she says, I was wondering why he was not at the Doughboy statue on Tuesday. Well, now we know. He was being recognized by the President of the United States of America. All right. Well, let's pivot now from the aviation industry to the trucking industry. This has been a big topic that we've been covering here over the past few months now. You know, we've been talking a lot about, well, frankly, for a few years now, we've been talking about the trucking industry, and we've had some great callers join in on the show. More recently, of course, the big concern is all of these, not just foreign truck drivers, but oftentimes illegal alien truck drivers, and many of whom don't even speak English. And California, of course, is ground zero for the crisis on that front, as we've seen, you know, some severe accidents all across the country. Great guest now joining us here on Montana Talks. Steve Gold is the founder and CEO of America's largest truck driving academies. He is the founder of 160 Driving Academies. In fact, Steve was telling me during the break, the Driving Academy in Billings, Montana is part of 160, his company. So, Steve, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Aaron, thank you so much for having us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, what's top of mind for you before I start going in a number of different directions?
Well, it's funny, when I started these truck driving schools, and as you mentioned, we're now the largest commercial truck driving school in the nation with a 153 schools in 43 states, including Billings. You know, people sort of laughed at me, like, Steve, what are you doing? Like, driver's ed for truckers? Like, what the hell kind of business is this? And I said, no, these are really regulated businesses. This is a really serious thing because, you know, people can get killed on the highway every day. You know, your listeners out there driving next to trucks and, you know, nobody really thinks about, was that truck driver safely trained somewhere? Did he go to a legitimate, you know, training course like in my company or one of my competitors? And nobody really thinks about that until, like, a bad thing happens, until there's a massive accident or a fatality or, you know, somebody knows somebody who got killed in by a trucker. And unfortunately, Aaron, the reality is there's over 100,000, ready for these numbers, 100,000 truck crashes in this country every year on our highway. So that's like, you know, 2,000 a week. And there's over 5,000 fatalities due to heavy trucks in this country every week. And so who's training these people? And how are these people getting commercial driver's license? And I think over the summer, this became, you know, like the hottest topic. And, you know, Secretary Duffy and President Trump are all over this issue because they're realizing that over the past 4 or 5 years, a lot of people got commercial driver's licenses who, to your point, you know, were either illegal aliens, couldn't speak or read English. A state like California was, like, giving these individuals truck driver's license that doesn't show until, like, this horrible accident that happened 2 months ago in Fort Pierce, Florida, where this individual horrifically killed family three, and turns out he couldn't speak or read English. Like, what is going on? So this is a really hot topic. This is what's on my mind. And I really thank you for having us today because really the general public needs to understand, like, how big of an issue this is.
Yeah, and we've seen where a lot of these problems are coming out of not just California, but the cow states, not the beef-producing states, but the cow states of California, Oregon, and Washington, where they're just handing over these CDLs to people that can't even speak English, to illegal aliens, to all sorts of folks, and that is the source of so many of these problems. And then I just saw a story, the numbers, I'm trying to see where I found it, though, but I know Secretary Duffy, President Trump's transportation secretary, just shared some crazy numbers of what they're finding already in terms of CDLs that have been you know, wrongly issued, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So part of it is this, what they call non-domiciled CDLs. Which are, you know, people coming to this country without being a U.S. resident or having any proof of residency and getting a commercial driver's license, let alone, like, not even be able to speak English. But the other issue is a lot of these individuals are being issued CDLs without going through their proper training or going to a school like mine, which, by the way, in many states, including Montana, is law. Like, you have to go to get to a school like ours to get a commercial driver's license, to get trained appropriately to drive an 80,000-pound vehicle down the highway because, you know, who wants people to be, you know, trained not in a safe way? Like, if you go to your doctor, you don't want that individual, like, did you cut corners in medical school? Like, you know, nobody asked that question. So the trucking industry, like, everyone's exposed to drivers who aren't trained properly. So part of the issue is, yes, we have giving these things out like chiclets to a lot of individuals who weren't even qualified to get a commercial driver's license at the DMV. But the bigger issue is around safety, and the bigger issue is around training. And if individuals are actually getting the appropriate training before they're getting behind the wheel.
And that's what we've also found is, like, okay, states like Montana, we do things the right way, but it's not like we have roadblocks on I-90 and I-94 and I-15. And so we can't just straight up have roadblocks blocking all these other folks from coming in. Although there's been some creative ways in which they've cracked down on some of the non-English speaking drivers. When I last caught up with the head of our motor carrier services back in August, he said they were finding one a day. They were tracking down one a day that they were pulling out of service for, like, failure to speak English in just Montana. You can only imagine what's happening in other states. What is the Trump administration doing well right now? And how soon will we start to really see some significant headway or in impacts? Or are we just going to continue to see this sucking chest wound because of the cow states like California, Oregon, and Washington?
Well, I think you're seeing Secretary Duffy, like, he's putting in, you know, he put in an executive order, like, no more of these non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses can be issued. And, you know, so he's clamped down on that. So that was, like, great. Then he set up inspection stations, and, you know, weigh stations now have both ICE and his Department of Transportation, inspecting drivers. And literally, I know that sounds sort of, oh, it's almost, it would be funny if it wasn't true, but they're actually having them read, like, Pat in the Hat books or Dr. Seuss books to see if a lot of these individuals can actually speak or read English. And if they can't, they're pulling them off the road immediately. Like in Oklahoma and in Indiana, they're setting up, like, literally inspection stations. Every truck has to pull over at a weigh station, and they're inspecting things. And the wait to get to these weigh stations is not like a mile long, and you see truckers lined up. But if they can't speak the language or read, they're actually revoking their commercial driver's license, like, on the spot. So that's what he's doing. So that's a great first step to try and at least get some of these individuals off the road at the get-go.
Yeah, and I know some states like Oklahoma, they've literally been practically setting up checkpoints on their borders and pulling people out of service right then and there. You know, Cat in the Hat, it's not like they're asking them to read Pride and Prejudice here. It's simple, something as basic as Cat in the Hat. We got a message on the Montana Talks app from one of our listeners in Columbia Falls who says, you know, if they can't speak and read English fluently, they shouldn't have a driver's license at all. You're just as dead if you're killed by an SUV, a pickup car, or a semi. Is a good point there by one of our listeners. Couple minutes to go here. So great to have with us right now on the show, Steve Gold, the founder and CEO of the 160 Truck Driving Academies, America's largest truck driving academies. Talk about the industry, the need, the demand for drivers, especially drivers who can speak English and read road signs, and how to meet that demand right now.
Right. That's a great question. So, you know, unfortunately, there's been so many I'll just call them non-domiciled CDLs being brought into the industry. It's depressed the wages of the industry over the last 3 or 4 years. And so that impacted the workforce. Like, truck driving historically was a great job. Like, you could go work at Walmart and make over $150,000 a year driving a truck. You can work at UPS, make over $150,000 driving a truck that's public information. These are great jobs. These are great careers. You can get a lot of mobility becoming a truck driver in this country. Unfortunately, when all, you know, legal immigrants came to this country and were handed out these CDLs, it depressed the wages of the industry because you had somebody from a foreign country willing to do this job for like half of what, you know, somebody's worked their entire life in this job was willing to do. So Secretary Duffy takes more of these CDLs off the highway and you know, reduces the workforce. It creates a bigger opportunity, like right now and going into 2026. To enter the industry. So let's assume they said he's going to take out, there's like over 200,000 drivers that are going to come off the highway who are non-domiciled CDL holders. We think the number is actually a lot bigger. Some people estimate it's like $600,000. Well, now you're talking about like 600,000 drivers. That's like 30% of the entire truck driving workforce. Someone's going to have to replace these drivers at a higher wage.
Yeah, so it's a win-win. Bottom line is what President Trump and his team are doing right now and these Republican governors and others are doing, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for making our roadways safer and for boosting the wages for American truck drivers. Sounds like a win-win there. Hey, Steve Gold, great to have you on the show. We'll have to get you back on again one of these days. It was great to catch up with you.
Aaron, thank you for having me today. Really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah. All right. Keep us posted if you have some updated news or information or whenever you want to share some information with our listeners. Yeah, great insight. And I know we've got so many great truck drivers that listen to this program, whether for their day job or hauling cows every now and then, you name it. All right, back after this.
We'll be back with the best of Montana Talks after these messages.
Chad, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
Oh, man, I tell you what. We got to start recording these off-air conversations, don't we, George? We need to keep recording during the commercial break. And then one day our best of holiday show will just be all the off-air conversations during the breaks. Okay, George. So you and I were talking during the break, you know, back to this story. Well, first, let me share the email from Gail in Laurel first here. Because you and I were talking during the break about, you know, this Gallup survey that shows that 40% of young women want to leave the United States of America permanently. Gail in Laurel, great lady. I think I got to meet her at a volleyball tournament where she was volunteering last year. She says this: how many of these people who want to move out of the country have ever been to a foreign land? Yes, I enjoyed some of my international trips, but I always wanted to kiss the U.S. ground when I returned. What a great message there from Gail and Laurel.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's true. Now, some people right now would argue against this or differently, but, you know, the first time you go to a foreign country and just the police are carrying machine guns around all over the place in plain sight, that'll make you miss home.
That's right. All right. Well, let me see, not to annoy people with my whistling here, but let me see if I remember. My whistling's really bad right now. I'm drinking coffee. But here, anyway, you know what I'm getting at, George, here. Let me play the official Andy Griffith theme song. Does that bring back memories for you, George?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. So some of you might be wondering, why is Aaron playing the Andy Griffith Show theme song here? Well, George, you and I were talking during the break, and I was telling you that what I think is so funny about this story about how 40% of young women want to leave the United States permanently is it, because you were talking about how so many of them, like, that were surveyed are not even adults yet, like they're under the age of 18. And it reminds me of when your kids are little and they get mad at you, and then they threaten to leave the house. They threaten to run away. I'm leaving. I don't like it here. And you're like, okay, go then. Not that my wife ever told the kids, okay, you can just leave then. So it reminds me of, like, you know, you tell your kids, okay, leave then. And then they pack a little bag. They pack their little backpack, and they trudge down the street. They get about a half a block away, and then they come back. I don't want to leave. I like it here.
Yeah, I may have wanted to run away a couple of times, but
when you were little,
when I was little, yeah. But I think my dad handled it differently than Andy Taylor does.
Yeah, no, it's just so funny. These kids, I'm leaving. I don't like it here. Okay, go then. And then they get a block away, and then they're coming back. And so anyway, I was telling that story to George during the break, and he said, hey, there was a great episode of the Andy Griffith Show where you know, Sheriff Andy Taylor, you know, there's little Opie sitting on the bed, and he's thinking about leaving. He's thinking about running away. All right, now we got to play a little segment from the Andy Griffith Show for you.
I hope you only always go down the creek.
No, I got some thinking to do.
Oh, why? You got some kind of problem?
Well, I got something to ask you. Something important.
Yeah? Well, go ahead.
Can I run away from home?
You want to run away from home? Well, now, if that's what you got on your mind, well, you're going about it all wrong.
I am?
Oh, yeah. You ain't supposed to ask your pa.
But you always said I should never go anyplace far without getting your permission.
Well, yeah, I know I did say that. But, see, running away from home's a little special. See, what you do in a case like that is first you write a note saying that you're running away, and then you do.
You mean to tell me that's all there is to it?
That's all.
But I don't know how to write.
I'll tell you what, if you are really bound run away. I'll write a note for you.
You will?
Yes, sir. I'll do it. Now, let's see. When was George Lee?
All right. So, George, then I think you know how the rest of the clip goes here. Then apparently he helps him write the letter, and then he starts going through the logistics, and that's what really gets you on Opie, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that part there that I can't write. So, you know, I think in my house it would be, well, when you learn how to write, then you can run away from home. But until then, you got to stay here.
And I can just see a young George, a pencil, his fist wrapped all the way around the pencil, improperly holding the pencil, his tongue sticking out the side of his mouth as he's trying to figure out how to write a letter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's kind of a rite of passage for a lot of people right there, actually.
That's right. Hey, let's go back into the phone lines. We got Ryan in Belgrade. Ryan, what's your thoughts on this survey about apparently all these young women that want to leave the country permanently?
Well, my comment is just that there's a big difference between visiting countries and living in them. So I think moving to these countries and trying to live there and do whatever their rules are, I don't think it's going to be that much fun.
That's a really good point. When you're just there as a tourist and you're spending money on the restaurants and you're living in the nice hotels and dropping all that cash, you might get treated one way. But now you live there and you live in the normal neighborhoods and you do the normal things and you may not have the best air conditioning and everything. It's a totally different ballgame at that point.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. Yeah. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Hey, that's a great point. Yeah, Ryan, thanks for the call. Yeah, George, that's a really good point there. You know, even when you visit a place and you have all the nice things, you're still happy to get back home to the United States of America, but spend a little bit more time than that even.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. There are a lot of countries that don't want Americans there, period. They don't want them visiting, and they don't want them moving there for sure. So just imagine you move into a place, you got a little apartment somewhere in this other country, and then everybody gives you the cold shoulder. Nobody will talk to you, and the ones that do are telling you to leave. That's not a great existence.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. There was something else I was going to say about that. Oh, you know, the idea of, you know, you visit these other countries and, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily want you there. I think a lot of Montanans can identify with that. I mean, think about it. Think about what a beautiful place Montana is and think about all the tourists that flood in, especially post-COVID-19. And there's a lot of Montanans who get ticked off. I mean, try driving around in a rental car with California plates on and you'll quickly see the reaction.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Let's sneak on another caller here. We got Jeff in Polson with another topic altogether. Jeff, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, happy Freedom Friday, guys. I have something before I get into the other topic. You were talking about women wanting to leave. I came across an acronym for the first time this week. It's AWFL, the Awfuls. It stands for Affluent White Female Liberals. And I think they're the ones who want to leave. And I think they ought to go, but they ought to go to places where there's no running water or electricity, and then they find out how good they really have it here.
That's a good point. So one of those Awfuls, to use your acronym, one of those rich white liberal women, Rosie O'Donnell. Well, if she's so woke, what is she doing going to Ireland? Why doesn't she go somewhere else if she's so woke, right?
Yeah, where her money could do some good. The reason I wanted to get on the war on drugs was because I just read this morning on the newsletter I get that USS Gerald Ford has just shown up off the coast of Venezuela and nobody knew where it was until it got there. And it's causing all sorts of consternation. And that caused me to wonder, when did the war on drugs actually begin? So I looked it up, and it was June 17th, 1971. President Richard Nixon declared the war on drugs. So for 54 years, we've been fighting a war on drugs. I think it's time to either win it or lose it. And I think this is the first time that any president has ever actually put actual military might into the war on drugs.
So in a major way.
I think after 54 years, it's time to have a real war.
Well, it's time to end the war. And when I say that, they have waged war on us. The drug cartels have been waging and are waging war on America. President Trump is working to bring that to a halt. Finally. That's why these libertarians who virtue signal, oh, he's going to get us into another war. The war is already there. He's working to end it. Like all the other wars he's been ending. Yeah, virtue signaling. Anyway, good thing we got a break.
Want more Montana Talks? Download the app and listen from anywhere, anytime. We'll be back with more of Best of Montana Talks.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Why do you think that we've gone from a purple state, Florida, and it is now a deep red state? And the same thing is happening. You look at this map, and I've got it here in front of me. You know, look, where are people moving to? They're moving to places like Nevada. They don't have a state income tax there. They have low taxes in Arizona. They have low taxes in Utah. And you see a massive net gain in Texas, for example. If you look at where are money and people going? I mean, if you look at income losers and winners, $1 trillion win for my free state of Florida. We don't have a state income tax. We have half the property tax of New Jersey. We don't have high gas taxes. We don't have high sales taxes. I don't have any of this.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Right now in Ukraine, with the war ongoing, elderly Jewish people are trapped in unbearable poverty. For example, Galina is a 96-year-old Holocaust survivor who has spent her life in the same village. She's now sick and alone, and now it's bitter cold. Like every day, she's got to decide whether to spend what little money she has on food, medication, or heating. Now, thanks to your generosity and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, you can bring hope to all of those in need. Your gift of $25 will help provide a food box packed full of life-saving essentials that will help feed an elderly individual, a Jewish person struggling just to survive. Don't delay. Your gift today will help provide these life-saving food and hope to people like Alina and many like her that are in desperate need. Rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-IFCJ. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Looking. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I want to wish all of our great listeners out there across the state a very happy Thanksgiving. Hey, if you got a road trip planned, or if you're just hanging out at the house or hanging out in the shop, you can listen to every single second of Montana Talks. Maybe there's a segment you missed. Well, download any segment you want by using the Montana Talks app. That's right. There's a Montana Talks app. You can get it on your smartphone. You'll get all our printed content, the audio, and more.
You're listening to the Best of Montana Talks.
Across the Big Sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, George has another very interesting story to talk about. Hopefully we have time to get to it, but I got a couple of callers we want to sneak on here as well, especially with regard to this topic about, people wanting to leave the United States and permanently. William in the Flathead on the phone lines next. William, what's your thoughts?
Well, I just had a thought when I was listening to you guys talk, and I had to chuckle a little bit because I don't think their thought process is very clear that, you know, going to a foreign country as a tourist, if they know you're there as a tourist, and a tourist committing faux pas about their language or their culture or their way of life can be forgiven, you're a tourist. But if you go there to live, they're going to expect you to learn their language, learn their culture, and their way of doing things. They're not going to let you be there as an American. If you're going to live there, they want you to become them. And I just don't think they understand that because we have that kind of problem here. Oh, everybody wants to be, you know, multiculturalism. You can do what you want. But you go to a foreign country, and they don't think that way.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Great point. Great point. I'd keep the conversation going with you a little bit longer, William, but I got another caller I want to sneak on here as well. Thanks so much for calling in. Call in again for sure. Let's see. Now we've got Tracy in Kalispell. Tracy, what's your thoughts, Tracy? Do we have Tracy? I think we might have lost Tracy. Yes. Oh, we got Tracy. Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Nope. We're here, Aaron. Good morning. Thank you on Freedom Friday for all you two do.
Thank you.
I am a person who used to live down by the Tijuana border. And they know in 1974, I left. They know darn well where all those tunnels are, just like Hamas. And they could have stopped it a long time ago. There was no teeth to it. And then growing up in the 60s and 70s was very interesting. I, at that point, wasn't a Christian, but I saw what the women were doing, and I said, you are going to be so sorry someday. And, yep, they are. They are running wild, and no husband sticking around because they decided to be crazy and wild and not get along. So I guess I can speak that way because I'm a woman. I heard all the men and I went, oh, we gotta get somebody who actually was there and knows the mistakes that were made during the 60s when we threw away religion and good common sense.
So 40% of young women wanting to leave the U.S. permanently. What do you think is happening there? What's your reaction?
I think they're listening to the wrong people. Get some good old common sense thought processes. Make them look up the countries they want to go to. Educate them and say, okay, now think about it.
Yeah, very good point. You know, I wonder, you know, it's interesting too, Tracy, thanks for the call, you know, weighing in on, you know, both the war on drugs or the lack of us actually fighting a war on drugs and then on the women wanting to leave. It's interesting too, because you look at surveys, you know, Christian women, married Christian women are much happier, according to most surveys, and liberal women are the most depressed, according to surveys that have come out. It's kind of interesting in light of Tracy's remarks. George, we got about a minute to go. Do you want to share your story about voting or give reaction to what Tracy said there?
You know, let's just stick with Tracy. And so she's right, but, you know, he brought up a good point. Who's making these girls and women think that way? Well, look at the Democrat Party. They're telling everybody this country is so bad that, you know, why would they want to stay? Because I think it's going to work against them. They keep saying it's a terrible place. And, you know, they're kind of listening. So
that's a good point. Where are they getting their information from that makes them want to leave America? There was a female podcaster on Fox recently. I forget who she was on with, but she was making that point that if you look at the magazines targeting young women, the online deals, like, they're putting men on the cover of women's magazines and saying that's what it is to be a real woman. And that's the messaging that these young women are seeing out there. Great point. George, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us here on Freedom Friday. Always good to catch up with you, my friend.
We'll be back with more of the Best of Montana Talks.
From the Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.